do you feel that the control should be increased, or?
I'm not able to say. I made up my mind on that. We are trying a new method in CW, joint public and private sector participation.
Sri Lanka Salasa?
Like that. Yeah. Form 2 now. That is free from even the controls that the state-sponsored corporations have. Where you have to go to the treasury for this, the treasury for that. It's really a joint stock company. The government owns 50% shares. That's the principle that Gateskill also was very keen to introduce in England. Buying up of shares rather than taking over or nationalizing a big industry. So I must watch that experiment.
Another related sphere with reference to structure. For instance, when cabinets are formed and ministries constituted, there is a prime minister, and by this I mean not only the UNP prime minister, but Celeste, if you know what they have did. Does he consult the secretary to the treasury and some of the leading permanent secretaries?
No.
The allocation of departments to ministries. The number of ministries?
No.
I was wondering whether our leading statesmen, and by that I mean the Prime Minister, have taken into consideration the need to have a rational allocation of ministries, of departments to ministries.
I don't think so.
Because it would seem, for instance, that...
Some have too many.
Yes, and... all sorts of complications are created by sometimes having one department, say in Ministry A, when it should really be in Ministry B.
Yeah. So that can be changed any time.
For instance, if I may present the problem from the private sector viewpoint, I have heard the complaint, I can quite see it happening quite often, like when some enterprise wants permission for a certain project. They have to go and explain it to 3 or 4 different ministries.
Yeah, that's right.
Which means delay and... So I wonder whether the party...
You may not be able to do that at the formation of a government. And as the government proceeds, it's quite possible to smooth out those difficulties.
Couldn't the two parties get together and agreed on
two parties?
The two UNP and SLST get together and
well, there's no rigid rule about this. It's entirely left to the Prime Minister. The Constitution rests that power in allocation of functions.
Because personally, I feel that the ministry machinery is very important in implementing policy.
Yes. It's such a matter, I don't think the opposition will oppose. There is nothing for them to oppose. That is not a matter of policy.
And for instance, I was wondering what the role of the Planning Commission and the Ministry of Economic Affairs is at the moment. Doesn't it create another bottleneck?
It does? Yeah.
Because cabinet papers have to go to both the treasury and...
Some cabinet papers, yes.
It would seem that at the present moment, that system works. And because of the particular relationship between Dr. Dharmakura and the Prime Minister, and not institutionalized and organized.
No, no. And it's all this delay. Why delay?
In fact, I wonder whether it's a good thing to have this generalist type of public servant in charge of such, let's say, a permanent secretary in such ministries as that of industries and trade and commerce?
Not necessary. We had a change in my ministry.
Do you feel that our civil servants can cope with such problems?
I won't say all, but there are many who can. The trouble is that we have accepted the permanent secretaryship as being the end of a career. To get rid of that idea and get the best men there, even junior people, may make a big difference. It's really not part of the civil service. You made it so. It's 5 or 6 or 7. They feel they must be promoted in turn. They have done at the beginning of the constitution, but now it's quite different. When so much development has to be done.
But of course, if you choose some individuals and in public service and raise them to these positions, won't it create jealousies and difficulties?
It will, because we've accepted this position now, that this is the plumb of the public service.
What about the relations between ministers and permanent secretaries? Do you feel that some permanent secretaries tend to be obstructive?
No, I don't think so.
On the other hand, there's other data that some permanent secretaries tend to be yes men. And
purely a human relationship.
Finally, there's an interesting question of political interference that you say sometimes you get public servants complaining on this court. I was wondering whether they overplay this complaint.
It depends. Again, it depends on the individual public servant, the individual minister or MP. Mm-hmm. You can, if there's a public servant, do something for the people. In a way, it doesn't come to political interference.
For instance, would, if an MP or a special group go meet a minister and get him to make an order which without consulting the public servant,
that should not be done.
That would be that could be called political interference.
That alone won't be, it depends on what the order is of. But
the
minister requests a transfer to be done. Maybe he suggests it perfectly, genuinely, it should be done. Mm-hmm. The fact that the people have seen him doesn't make any difference. It has been brought to his notice. It may be unjustified, may be cruel, may be inhuman, and he must interfere. Or it may be purely to help some voter, which would be incorrect, it would be unjust, favoritism. So it's left to the minister or the MP and the public servant, both of them, to get together.
I have an interesting story with rather personal nature relating to you, reference to 56. I don't know, how far is it correct to say that you lost some votes in the Kelemia area because you refused to do something for the Jaikodi family? 1556 or earlier, I'm not sure.
I don't know about the Jaikodi family, I must have lost votes by refusing to do many things.
I presume you get these sort of pressures.
Oh, yes.
Do they count from the point of view of your constituents?
They would now. This is one case where... Ah, yes. Those days, buses were owned by individuals. Individual bus owner in Kalani, a powerful man, wanted a certain land acquired belonging to Felix Dias's family, a big coconut estate for land settlement. A lot of trouble I got from Senanayake, old gentleman before the parliament, and then Mr. Dudley Senanayake to acquire. They're taking steps to acquire, this man went and bought the estate. And then he came and asked him not to acquire, because he was the owner, and I refused to. and it is required. He worked hard against me. And the allottees, to whom they still given, they also worked against me. I both.
In many tenants?
Yes, capitalists and everybody. I lost some votes on that.
This is a very difficult question for MPs, isn't it? The question of delivering goods to... you expect to provide certain services. How does one solve the...
no solution. Take it as it comes.
Well, I was chatting to T.B. Subbasingh at a party, and he said he tries to weigh, you know, I mean, he tries to weigh the requests as well as he can, but it's difficult to know what the information they provide is genuine or not.
Yes. No hard and fast rule.
But I don't think that many MPs take the easier path and accept whatever is given and put pressure on to work.
Yes, that also, how can you blame them? Different MPs have different values as well as different strengths in the electorates. And also in the country and in their own social and political life.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do, X can't do.
But don't you think that this has had disastrous results? All this prodding and pushing and...
It has. It's one defect in our former constitution.
Where
the MP has pressure, generally from uneducated then, people who only think of their own self. A small community. When that pressure is brought to bear on a minister and the government, which has to live on the MP's vote in Parliament, because the executive depends on the legislature, unlike the American Constitution. And that leads to pressure on your policies and implementation of policy. That's true. We had a country that's in the new Constitution.
Do these have led to a decline in the performance of the public servants, in the sense that they are frightened to take action?
No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's only among public servants, it really affected to individuals. I mean, individuals, it doesn't affect policy.
Mm-hmm.
The policy affects the cabinet.
Now, for instance, I was, as an example, I was thinking of the squatting movement. Over the past 10, 15 years, it would seem, at least on the surface, that very little action has been taken.
Now that's not a public servant thought. That has affected the government. The government says pay all the squatters, the public servant will do. The pressure on the public servant would be not a big pressure of policy. Transfer of a public servant, of a public servant, or appointment. Or it will fail for an individual, not beyond that.
On the other hand, can't you say that the public service itself has encouraged this sort of prodding and pushing by themselves going to MP or a minister and trying to get this and that done?
Oh, yeah. Councils are generally public service. And appointment of that to the public service.
Final question I forgot to ask this earlier. What is your view on the position on the relationship between religion and society and religion and the state, with special reference to Buddhism?
We have always said, if you have a look at our latest manifesto, that a religion should not be made a state religion. We do not wish the state to interfere in religion. But Buddhism should be given the highest priority in every consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Because the religion of the majority.
But doesn't what the Buddhist Congress, for instance, demand, in effect mean that Buddhism would be a state religion?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
It should be defined. That's what you mean by state. It doesn't mean all jobs should be held by Buddhists. You don't agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
Or man who is a Buddhist should have a special place. You don't agree to that. But if it means that the Buddhist sangha, Buddhist monuments, Buddhist temples should even be financially helped, we agree to that.
Isn't there a danger of doing that, giving financial aid, might, in a sense, lead to its decline spiritually?
Well, let us say the Dalai Lama, that the state should contribute towards the restoration. There's no harm in that.
So I was wondering whether, from the point of view of the religion itself, having to lean on the state could be bad, because...
It shouldn't lean. That has to be done carefully. And what you say has come true, that God is temple all asking the state aid. Whereas before that the people used to. But of course the economic condition also has changed now. People have no money to do what they did.
But I think it's correct to say that the people, many people who should be taxed, for instance, escape taxes. The Buddhist keepers, Mudalalis, black marketeers, and...
So all this happens, yes. Many people who are committing offenses escape.
End of interview 2 with J.R. Jayawardena on the 7th of January 1968. Thank you.